This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Well, folks, some places come with more than just history. They come with tenants. Tenants that don't care if you've got a mortgage or a business plan. They've been there before you, and if you're not careful, they'll make sure you know it. I'm Tony Bruschi, and today's story takes us to an early 1800s farmhouse, a place that should have been the perfect setting for a dream business, but instead became a layover spot for spirits, both curious and dangerous. You ever hear of a spiritual train station? This couple hadn't either, until they realized that their brand new business wasn't just attracting customers. It was also attracting visitors from beyond the grave. Imagine you're fixing up an old farmhouse, things are going smoothly until you see a little boy run around the corner, only to disappear. Or you spot someone in an orange shirt passing by a doorway, only to find out no one was there. And then, a three-year-old points out the same figure through a window days later. You tell yourself, it's just your imagination. But what happens when customers and employees start having their own encounters? Now this couple did what most folks would do. They brought in the pros, a team of paranormal investigators. And while the investigators confirmed the spirits and uncovered some dark history, they also left behind a mess of fabricated evidence, leaving our couple with more questions than answers. And here's the kicker. The haunting didn't just stop at the farmhouse. Oh no. These spirits? They know where you live, literally. So here's the big question. What do you do when your business becomes a pit stop for wandering souls? How do you coexist with spirits that come and go as they please? Some playful, some downright nasty. Get comfortable, folks, because we're diving into this one and it's going to get weird. Dear Tony, where to start? When my wife and I bought that old farmhouse, we had no idea what we were walking into. The place, built in the early 1800s, had been a lot of things over the years, a family farm, a few failed businesses, but we thought we'd be the ones to turn it around. We had a business plan, the drive, and after months of renovations, we were finally ready to open our doors. For a while, everything was running smoothly, but it didn't take long for us to realize that we weren't the only ones occupying the space, and it started small. I've dealt with paranormal activity before, so when I saw things out of the corner of my eye or felt that creeping sensation that someone was watching, I didn't think much of it. I figured these experiences would stay mine alone like they always had. But I was wrong. Something about opening the farmhouse to the public seemed to stir the place awake. Like the energy we brought into the building acted as a beacon for spirits, some curious, others lost, and a few that were downright malicious. My first encounter happened in what used to be the old kitchen of the farmhouse. I walked in one afternoon and saw a boy, maybe 3 or 4 years old, run around the corner into another room. Thinking he belonged to a customer, I followed him. The strange thing was, there were only 2 rooms he could have gone into, and both were empty. There was no sign of him. No child, no parents looking for him, nothing. That was the first time I felt it. This wasn't just some glitch of the mind. Something real was happening here. Not long after, one of our employees had her own encounter in the same area. She swore she saw a woman sitting in a chair in the kitchen, but when she turned to speak to her, the woman was gone. Vanished without a sound, I could relate. I'd felt the presence of that same woman more than once. I'd catch glimpses of her dress swaying behind me or see her reflection flicker in the corner of my eye. But every time I turned to face her, she was gone. Soon the encounters began to spread. Employees started hearing their names called out when no one else was around. Objects moved on their own. Some employees even reported feeling cold touches on their skin, like fingers brushing against them in an empty room. One of our customers mentioned that they felt off. Like the building was holding its breath, waiting for something to happen. The strangest encounter came from an employee working alone in the kitchen. She was sweeping up when she saw a man in a modern military uniform walking toward the kitchen door with his head down. She thought nothing of it at first, just another visitor passing through. But when she turned to greet him, he was gone. She searched the building from top to bottom, asking everyone she came across if they'd seen a man in uniform. No one had. Then there was the night I saw the man in the orange shirt. I was working late, laying vinyl flooring in one of the rooms we were planning to expand into. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone walk past the open doorway wearing a bright orange shirt or jacket. The thing is, the room he walked into didn't have another exit. I waited, expecting to see him walk back out, but after several minutes, he didn't reappear. Curious, I stood up and checked the room. It was empty. No one there. I immediately went to find the employee and her boyfriend who were supposed to be working in another part of the building. When I asked if they'd been in my section, they both shook their heads, and neither of them was wearing orange. A few days later, one of our regular customers stopped by with his young son. As they were talking with my wife, the boy looked out the window toward the section of the building where I'd seen the man in the orange shirt. He asked, "What is he doing in there?" My wife looked out the window but saw nothing. She asked him who he was talking about, and the boy pointed toward the other building and said, "The man in the orange shirt." My wife and the boy's father immediately went to check that part of the building. They found no one, just an empty room, with no sign that anyone had been there at all. After the incident with the boy pointing out the man in the orange shirt, things took a darker turn. We knew we were dealing with more than just a few passing spirits. Something was stirring, and it wasn't about to go unnoticed. Employees were getting spooked. Customers commented on the heavy feeling in the building. Some days the place felt alive with energy. Other days, it was like the walls were holding a secret just beneath the surface, waiting to spill over. We decided it was time to bring the investigation team. They were professionals, or at least they appeared to be. The investigators confirmed what we suspected. Spirits were moving through the property like travelers at a train station. Some were lost, some were curious, and a few carried an edge of malice. They came and went with no rhyme or reason, drawn to the energy stirred up by our renovations and the people filling the once-abandoned farmhouse. But after the investigation, things took a strange twist. We found out that some of the evidence the group provided us, photos, recordings, had been fabricated. The leader had faked part of their findings, which completely destroyed their credibility. It left us in the worst position possible. We knew something real was happening, but now we had no outside proof. And with word starting to spread that our business might be haunted, we knew we had to tread carefully. The spirits didn't stay confined to the farmhouse. Our own home, built on what used to be part of the original farm, started to experience its own share of activity. Even though our house was 2 miles away from the business, it was as if the spirits were following us home. Some nights I'd see shadowy figures outside the windows. Other nights I'd catch glimpses of people walking through the backyard, people who weren't supposed to be there. And then there were the sounds. One of the eeriest residual hauntings comes from the barn. There used to be an old stairway in the back, but we tore it down 3 years ago. Yet even now you can still hear heavy boots stomping up and down those steps, steps that no longer exist. That kind of thing doesn't leave you with many answers, just a lingering sense that something is out of sync with reality. We've learned to live with it more or less. The spirits come and go as they please. Some are harmless, even friendly, but a few have been downright nasty. We've asked some to leave, welcomed a few others, and in one case had to forcefully remove a particularly hostile spirit. It's not always easy, but we've made our peace with the fact that this is just how things are now. The hardest part, though, is knowing that these spirits don't just stay at the business. They know where we live. There's no real way to escape them, and to be honest, I'm not even sure we want to anymore. It's become part of our life in a strange way. We've accepted that our home and business are hubs, places where spirits pass through, stay a while, and then move on. Some are stuck in loops, repeating actions from their lives, while others seem fully aware of us and curious about what we're doing. The way I see it, this is our life now. It's not always easy, but we've learned to coexist. When you're dealing with spirits that know where you sleep, it's best to find a way to get along. Thanks for taking the time to read this, Tony. If you have any advice, I'd love to hear it. But for now, I guess we'll just keep living with them. After all, what other choice do we have? All the best, Mark. Well, folks, it seems our friend Mark and his wife found themselves running a business with a whole lot more foot traffic than they bargained for, some of it from customers and some of it from the other side. This isn't just your average haunted house. This is a spiritual train station where spirits come and go, making themselves at home, whether they're welcome or not. And here's the twist. When the ghosts know where you live, moving 2 miles down the road doesn't make much of a difference. Let's look at the practical side first. Could it be that renovations stirred up something dormant? Absolutely. There's a reason so many hauntings seem to start when someone begins knocking down walls or laying new floors. Disturbing old spaces can mess with the energy of a place, or maybe just remind the spirits that their quiet little world is changing. And when employees, customers, and even a 3-year-old start reporting the same kinds of things, that's not just coincidence, that's a pattern. And then there's the psychology. Running a business is stressful. Moving into a new home on top of that? Even more so. Maybe, just maybe, some of what Mark and his team experienced was fueled by the heightened emotions and mental strain of building a business from scratch. But that doesn't explain away everything. It doesn't explain the man in the orange shirt or the sound of heavy boots stomping upstairs that no longer exist. Now let's take a walk down the paranormal lane. What if Mark's farmhouse really is a spiritual hub, a place where spirits gather, drawn in by the energy of renovation and human presence? Think about it. If spirits are curious by nature, why wouldn't they hang out in a place filled with new life and activity? Some are friendly, some are mischievous, and some, well, some aren't so nice. And when you factor in the barn stairs that keep being used, even though they're long gone, that's not just a memory stuck on repeat. That's something with intention. And what about the fact that these spirits followed Mark home? Some paranormal folks will tell you that spirits can attach themselves to people just as much as to places. If that's the case, it's not just the farmhouse that's haunted. It's Mark and his family. And when spirits know where you sleep, coexistence might just be the best option. So what do you do when you're dealing with spirits who aren't going anywhere? Do you fight them every step of the way? Or do you find a way to live alongside them, hoping they play nice? Mark and his wife have chosen the latter, and honestly, that might be the wisest choice. I'm Tony Bruschi, and if there's one thing this story teaches us, it's that when spirits know where you live, well, maybe it's best not to make too many enemies. Sleep tight, folks. And if you see someone in an orange shirt out of the corner of your eye, just maybe let him go about his business. Good night.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.